Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a sneak to the left, and they shove him right into the end zone for a 2-yard touchdown run. The beast has been released. Back to pass, looking left, pumps, rolls to his right, pocket collapsing, comes back to his left, heaves it down the left sideline for Shavers in the end zone for a touchdown. A broken play, goes for 6, 43 yards. And it's a tunnel screen to Ty Johnson, threw a hole and up the sideline, 40, 35, 30, it's a foot race, 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Ty Johnson. Mayfield looking to the right, and it's picked off. Cole Bishop with the interception. Back on his feet, up the sideline, and down to the 25.
All right, there you go. That's Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I am Sal Capaccio here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. A Buffalo Football Victory Monday we get back to after last week departing from that for a Monday. And, of course, that's presented by Catholic Health, and it is the right way to care. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. Good to be with you today. Happy Victory Monday to you. Bills get back in the win column, 44-32 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a game that saw, I believe, what, 9 lead changes. You can call the show today. This is the difference, right, between a win and a loss. I get here last week to start the show, Joe. I think we had like 5 callers already on hold. Today, got open phone lines, basically. A couple people are starting to call now, but now's your chance to get in if you want to say whatever you need to say on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday. Quick turnaround to Thursday. We'll get to that in a little while. But 803-0550 is the number. If you don't want to call and just want to get involved in the chat, we have that going over in our YouTube and Twitch streams. Check it out on YouTube. Looking right now at some of the chatters. The bullpen, as we like to say. Hello, Dan. Giglia, I believe it is. Bill. Ardo. JT Bills. AC. Who else we got in here? Tony. Nick and DePew. Johnny G. Hot Dirt. Kelvin. I'm sure a lot of you have other use. I like to just kind of let you know that I'm there, that I'm watching and I'm seeing you, all right? But as always, I always say, I can't really interact with the bullpen during the show because I'm live and talking. JTL, thank you. But you guys can interact with each other, and I appreciate that. So thanks for coming aboard here. All right, 44-32, Bills beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot to get to in this game, and I think it would probably be I think you need to start with the Keon Coleman stuff, but at the same time, I don't want to wash away the victory by starting with that. I mean, this was a needed win. This was a win against a team that was a high-level opponent, a good team in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that has a very, very good quarterback playing at an MVP level earlier in the year, at least, and a defense that was giving up some big plays, and the Bills took advantage of that yesterday. And an offense for the Bills that finally seemed to get on track in the passing game. And what I was encouraged by was the fact that the run game, which has been so strong for the Bills that they've been leaning on for quite a while, that for 2 weeks now has kind of been shut down a bit by opponents. And last week they weren't able to figure it out in the pass game. And this week they were. And of course, a little Josh Allen magic and Superman football from Josh Allen at times. I mean, give credit to the whole offense and what they were able to do with Josh. But holy cow, the MVP played like the MVP yesterday. Josh Allen accounting for 6 total touchdowns. He ran for 3. He threw for 3. He accounted for 357 yards of offense. Threw a bad interception early, threw another one later that was deflected on a 4th down. And he was at his best when his team needed him to be. But part of the reason why he was at his best when his team needed him to be was because the cast around him stepped up to be more available in ways where we have not seen the cast around him be more available for him in weeks past. What do I mean by that? Out of structure, off-script plays, getting downfield, Tyrell Shavers, sitting down in the zone, Gabe Davis. I mean, the numbers are there, right? You take a look at the numbers. 19 of 30, 317. You take a look at 10 different targets, 9 different guys catching passes, a 43-yard touchdown, a 25-yard touchdown, a 52-yard touchdown. A couple of those were catches and runs, right? Shot plays down the field. The Bills actually had, if you go to arrow up, arrow down, I have it at WGR550.com. One of the arrows up I gave, if you didn't notice or didn't know the numbers, I'll give them to you. The Bills actually had, let me count them again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 plays of at least 20 yards. And we believe all were passes. 8 20-yard or more pass plays in this game. That's something that's been lacking and missing from this offense. But beyond the numbers, the eye test was there. The eye test of the passing game, it just looked better. It looked smoother. It looked more efficient. And that's what they need going forward. And who would have thought, as great of a story as he was, and as much as he became a fan favorite, and everybody understood that he worked his butt off to earn it, who would have thought that maybe the answer on the boundary would be Tyrell Shavers? And I'm not going to jump all the way and lean in all the way to that right now because it's one game. But Tyrell Shavers mattered yesterday. He mattered. So did Gabe Davis. This was a team that late in the week, we know this now from everything that was said from Sean McDermott and Keon Coleman himself. Late in the week, they transitioned from Keon Coleman being a big part of the game plan or a part of the game plan and understanding his role, starting all that stuff that he normally does, to being benched because he was late or missed a team meeting. It was, I guess there's still not complete clarification on that. I think Sean McDermott said he was late, but third discipline issue for this young man, second this year, have to transition and go right to, okay, Gabe, you're elevated. Maybe that was going to happen anyway. You got to play snaps. Tyrell Shavers, you're taking a bulk of the snaps. Tyrell Shavers and Khalil Shakir were on the field more than any other wide receiver on the Buffalo Bills yesterday. And it looked better. It looked better. I don't think there's any denying that. Now, again, against a defense that's been giving up, you know, yards and points and plays through the air. So let's see what it looks like next week. If maybe they'd even do that next week. What happens now going forward? I don't know. I'm just here to tell you that without Keon Coleman and with Tyrell Shavers and Gabe Davis and a couple plays of Mecole Hardman sprinkled in, I don't really want to go that far with him because he had one shot down the field and they didn't connect. But with Tyrell Shavers and Gabe Davis and no Keon Coleman, the passing game looked better yesterday. It also looked better because they got running backs involved. 4 catches for about, 127 yards? I think it was 5 catches between Ty Johnson and Ray Davis. So we're going to talk about it all today. It's all on the table. You know how this Monday works, the Buffalo Football Victory Monday. Got the Victory Monday t-shirt on, got the phone calls lined up for you, and it's your chance to say what you need to say about this particular game, this particular team, and have your platform and your forum. So we'll do all of that today. We'll get to sit up, stand down, hey buddy, I'll take a look around the league as we go forward as well. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. Let's start it off with Billy in Toronto. Hi, Billy. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. This is Buffalo Bills football. This is what I've been saying when I've been calling all year. I know we've had some bad games, but this is how we do it. We've got to get into shootouts because we got the best damn quarterback in football. Well, I think either him or the guy in Cincinnati who's injured. And this is how we do it. I don't care if we give up points. I don't care what happens on the other side of the ball. This is how we play. This is how we dominate teams. And it was this was just perfect. This is what I've been trying to say all year. And, you know, two things. One thing about Josh, listen, I love you to death. You know that. You're my favorite athlete. But can we get rid of that Patrick Mahomes play? You know, the one where you shot put it or whatever it is he does, and you took the interception. Can you just take the sack
there? Yeah, he should have done that. But, you know, yeah, I think the issue was there. I think, Billy, I'm just trying to get in Josh's head here. He was so close to the goal line. If he just grounds it, that's a penalty and that's a safety because he's there. And I think he wanted to avoid a sack in the end zone as well because that's a safety. So bad decision. I'm not disagreeing, but I think that's what he was thinking there. He wanted to avoid the safety, and of course it became a tough decision anyway.
Yeah, and just one last thing.
Yeah.
You know, Sal, I've been saying to you before that we need that one play where we're in trouble. And boy, did I love that play where Josh looks like he's gonna run. He's about 4 or 5 yards short. And the old Josh would just bust right through those guys. But I think this was a set play. They had a receiver wide. He makes the pass. Okay, we got called for it being a forward lateral. That was a little too close. I didn't think that was a forward lateral.
It was forward.
Yep. Okay, but what a great call on that. What a great call for him. If it's not a forward lateral, it's a great
play. Yeah, you're right about that. You know what I would tell you, Billy? I think the wind actually pushed it forward, and I'm not kidding. I actually think the wind, his momentum did for sure, but I think the wind, that was the way the wind was going, and his momentum carried him that way. And I think I don't know if it was a design play, but of course there's a guy, there's an outlet there, and it happened. Hey, Billy, I got to run. I got more calls. Thanks a lot for calling, buddy, as always.
Thank you.
All right, you got it. Let's go down to Atlanta. Michael in Atlanta. What's up, man?
Hey, Sal. Hey, thanks again for doing what you do, man.
You
it's always
it.
A pleasure to talk to you. Okay,
yep.
So real quick, I do want to talk about just something very spooky. So I communicate with my nephew. Him and I text a lot during the game. And when the Bills had the ball in the end zone and a text came in, I thought that was him. He knows I'm on delay. I said, oh, no, what, Josh Allen threw an interception? Well, it wasn't him, and then Josh Allen threw the interception. But I had this weird feeling that he was going to come back in the game, and I kid you not. I thought he was going to have 5 touchdowns. I was wrong. It was 6. But I'm impressed with how he bounced back from that. But I'm also super impressed with Joe Brady and how he managed the game when the Tampa defense was stopping the Bills' running game. I just thought that it was masterful, the way that he opened up quick, short passes, almost like extended handoffs. I just want to give kudos to Brady because I really thought that he called a great game. Of course, Bills had to execute, which they did, but I still thought that was great. I just wanted your opinion on him calling the game.
Yeah, I gave him an arrow up, arrow down. I thought that he did a very good job. I thought that he did a good job of managing and making adjustments after the Buccaneers came after Josh very early in the game, that first series. Josh throws the interception. After that, he was pretty clean. That was number one. Number two, I thought he did a good job of figuring out how to, and the Bills did a good job of getting more control of the run game. It was never great, but it got better as the game went on and kept them off balance. They did a nice job. I mean, if you look at the overall numbers in the game for the Bills, I mean, I just want to say, I think Josh threw the ball 30 times. 30 passes and 23 runs. You know, I mean, that's a nice balance there, I think, and that's what that can help you out.
Some of those runs were important at the end of the game when Kirk did get some 7-8-yard runs. And one last thing, all this talk about week to week, and you know, the greatest team, the worst team, all this stuff we're hearing from fans. Look, it helps when you get players back, right? I mean, you know, they were devastated last week with injury, and getting all these players back is really, I think, helped the team. And I think what's going to, you know, carry them through in the playoffs or whatever team's going to go deep in the playoffs is going to be who's peaking at the right time and who's healthy.
Yeah, for sure, Mike. It always is. Thanks a lot for the phone call. And the Bills still without Dalton Kincaid yesterday. We'll see what happens and what that means for Thursday. Quick turnaround, so not sure he'll be available by then. Then you have 10 days to get ready for the next game. But nice job. Dawson Knox actually had a really large share of the snap count yesterday. And then Jackson Hawes did not play as much. But the Bills did a nice job, I thought, of mixing personnel. Take a look at the snap counts. I tweeted them out, at Sal Sports. I mean, you're talking all the wide receivers are basically between 40 and 50%. I mean, they did a nice job of mixing that in. It was a true everybody eats mentality, what they preach, and it worked yesterday. Doesn't always work. It worked yesterday. Cleveland in Niagara Falls. Hi, Cleveland.
Sal, I'm absolutely beside myself, and I have been since the beginning of that game when, you know, we lose to the 2-7 Dolphins to a team whose best secondary player is playing in Pittsburgh right now. You have these questions of whether or not you're a starting wide receiver, and you have the nerve to miss, be late, whatever, to a mandatory meeting. I just think that's just – and it's your third disciplinary action, and then we look so good in the passing game without you, which makes me think maybe the passing game had a problem because of you. I have no sympathy for Keon Coleman, and I think he needs to be demoted all the way down to the practice squad. I just wanted to say that.
I appreciate your sentiment. I will tell you that's not happening because of this. Well, he hung up, just so you know. And I love the fire and passion, and I agree for a large part of what you're saying, Cleveland. I'll touch on a couple things here. I mean, Keon Coleman needs to grow up. I'm not saying that just as Sal Capaccio. I'm saying that as what's being echoed from the locker room. You heard Deion Dawkins say that. Now, I will say, the clip that's going viral with Deion and talking about that, Deion said a lot of great things about Keon, and the clip is being picked up of the negative kind of part of that, which is he needs to grow up. But he's not wrong. And Deion talked about, we got his back. And I talked with him, and hey, no more pats in the back. Time to grow up. I'm going to tell you, like, it's a sign of immaturity that he has not become quite the professional he needs to be. He needs to do that. He needs to become more of a professional to understand this is a job that people rely on you and your actions. Your actions as a professional football player impact other people's lives and careers around you. Every day, every meeting, everything you do on the field and off the field. This isn't just about Keon Coleman, the person. It's about Keon Coleman, the part of the organization. Keon Coleman, the teammate. What he does, how he acts, the things that the Bills have to deal with impact everybody around him. And I think he has to understand that, and he hasn't yet. Now, to your point, Cleveland, just so you know, he'd have to be waived to go to the practice squad. If he gets waived, he's just getting claimed. Now, I'm sure there's somebody listening going, I don't care, get him off my team. Well, the Bills aren't going to waive Keon Coleman and have him just lose him for nothing as a second-round pick last year. Because the reality is he's still a young man, and by all indications, he's a really fun, fine young man. He just hasn't learned how to be a professional yet and hasn't matured enough to understand that yet. And he needs to very quickly, now, like now. Now's the time. Do it. At the end of the game, after the game, we caught up with him outside the Bills locker room, and he just kept repeating, I just have to be better. Well, then be better. I asked him, when did you know you weren't going to play? He said, oh, I knew that basically right away. Can't keep making those mistakes. Well, you did make that mistake again. Then stop making the mistakes again. Be more accountable. Be more aware of what your life now entails as a professional football player, as a professional in anything. But the good news is, the optimism is, he is still young, and it doesn't have to be the definition of his career. He could literally, starting today, be the most on-time, timely person ever and the hardest worker ever and have a Hall of Fame career. We don't know. The Bills aren't going to move on from Keon Coleman right now. They're not going to waive him so he goes to the practice squad. But I do wonder if he's in the lineup Thursday. I do wonder how much he plays going forward because that passing offense looked better and Cleveland made the point. It looked better without him. And maybe that's another wake-up call to him, and he goes, hey, yo, Tyrell, Gabe, like, what am I doing here? I better get my butt in gear. Maybe. You hope. Let's go to Mr. Bill, who wants to chime on this. Hi, Mr. Bill.
Hey, Sal. Thank you for taking my call, man.
Yep.
Just two quick things. It's just so disappointing with Keon, everything that's going on. I don't want to pile on him. Everybody's been talking about him. But when you look at someone like Tyrell Shavers and all the adversity that he's overcame, almost making his team so many times, my mind goes to, if Keon was in that position with his maturity level, and how he's dealt with the injury and things like that. How would he react? Would he have done what Tyrell Shavers has done, or would he have given up? I don't know. It's just something that I think about. And going to the defense, one of the tough things about this defense is three people have done so much for our franchise, Bernard, Milano, and Taren. Their play has dropped off. And Bernard made a lot of plays yesterday. Let's be real. He plays hard. Sounds like he's a hard worker, always has the tablet with him. And same with Taren and Milano, but their drop in play has really, really affected this defense more than anything, man. And again, they've done so much for this franchise. Very grateful for them, but I'll hang up and listen to what you guys
say. Yeah, I mean, Terrell Bernard's clearly dealing with the ankle. I thought he actually played pretty well yesterday considering everything. And I know they got run on a lot, but Terrell Bernard looked more like Terrell Bernard, even though, yes, they did have a lot of run yards against them. He was filling holes better. He was at the point of attack better. I thought he was moving better, dropping better. He actually had two tackles for loss, two passes defended. I think you have to understand the ankle injury is impacting him a lot, and what's happening up front with these guys is impacting them a lot. It's not an excuse. I agree with you. Taren Johnson has not had his best year. You can make the argument that Cam Lewis has been better when he's in there. Matt Milano is not making the splash plays we've used to see from Matt Milano. But he's also, though, still processing at a high level compared to other people you can put in there. You know, and I get it, but there are a lot of things that get baked into all that. Let's go to Anthony in New York City. Hi, Anthony.
Sal, how you doing, Sal?
Good, thanks.
Sal, you're talking about the defense. I feel they're missing that off in the middle of defense because they're getting gashed.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they're missing them for sure. I mean, that's tough. They're missing Michael Hoyt as well. They are missing him. And he's not coming back anytime soon. Ed Oliver's not going to be back here until probably playoff time at best. To start the playoffs. That's what it feels like, or it seems like, at least that's the word. Michael Hoyt, missing him. After only having him for less than two games, you saw the impact. Landon Jackson can't get on the field now because he's injured, obviously. He's out. I mean, you got to piece this together with who you have. Let's go to Gary in Buffalo. Hi, Gary.
Hey, good morning, Sal.
Yep.
So my question to you is, Todd Bowles decided to challenged the completed pass in the, I believe it was the first half. And
was it the one with Samuel on the sideline or no? Which one?
It's the one where he challenged the completed pass. And then if that was the case and it was a completed pass, that he actually fumbled it and Buffalo recovered. So if that challenge would have gone through and it was a completed pass, would in fact Buffalo would have they gotten the ball back because of the fumble?
Okay, yes. I'm going to go through this, but I'll say the answer to your question is yes. I'll just a precursor to this, I have not seen the full replay of it other than what I saw on the field, so I can't tell you right now everything, but I will tell you, to answer your question, Gary, when a play is challenged, they do review the entire play. You know what I mean? So yes, if it was determined it was a catch and a fumble, the Bills would have got it, yes.
Yeah, and that just solidifies my fact that I never was a fan of Todd Bowles. I look at him on the TV screen, and I giggle.
Let me ask you this. Gary and Joe, you can weigh in on this, and maybe even Owen, because I haven't seen it. Was it a – if it was a catch, was it also a fumble? Gary's saying it was. What did you see? I have not seen the replay enough yet.
It could have been, for sure. It was – if it was going to be ruled a catch, it would have been a fumble.
Okay, that's what he's saying, right?
I don't think it was. I don't think the ground caused it. It was out and about before.
So, Gary, it looks like you got a couple of guys here agreeing with you because, like I said, I have not looked at it yet in detail. I only saw the replay on the board, and I immediately said, "Oh, that's not a catch," and I didn't think about the second part of it. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, thanks for answering that. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it. The answer to the question Gary's asking is, if he wins the challenge, isn't it a fumble? Yes, because the whole play is reviewed, actually. So if they determine it's a catch, they have to say it's also a fumble because you can't just say, we're going to give him the catch and not the fumble. That would not make any sense. Oh, and I cut you off, but you saw the same thing?
Yeah. Okay. I saw essentially the same
okay.
same thing where it was one or the other, where it was either an incomplete pass or the guy caught it and then Bernard had it. So it was one or the other.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll take a timeout here. On the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, good start to a Buffalo football victory Monday. Sal Capaccio with you here on WGR.
It is disappointing, but I still believe in the young man. And we get to a certain point, and I've got to do something. I try and give the guys some a kind of a strike approach. Hey, you get a chance to show that your teammates, that's not really who you are. And then when it happens again, then I step in. So I believe he will learn from it. He takes it seriously, and he will move forward in a way of growing from this. And that's the whole goal.
All right, that is Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about Keon.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Coleman, you know, I'm going to say that I would believe the Bills feel the same way about what I feel about this when I say it this way. You just won a game, 44-32, exciting, back and forth, two really great quarterbacks going at it, two really good football teams. You erased a bad loss out of your mouth last week. You got to turn around against the Texans coming up. You're 7-3, looking to go 8-3, trying to chase down the Patriots. You're having you're in a high leverage, emotional, positive thoughts and feelings, and you have to address this. That's part of what is frustrating here. It's not just the Keon Coleman, like in a vacuum, him and what he did for his disciplinary issues and what's going on with him. It's not just that and saying, what do you do with Keon Coleman? It's the fact that you have to talk about this. It's the fact that it becomes a distraction and takes away from what you're trying to accomplish. And that's what I mean when I say he's a professional and everything that he does, he has to understand it. Everything he does impacts lives, careers of people around him, coaches, players, everybody. And that's what's frustrating. And you hope he gets the message. You hope he got the message. Let's go to John, who's in Detroit. What's going on, John?
Yeah, good morning, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. My drive home to Detroit right now from the game yesterday. 2 points. One is I like the comparison of this team with the 22, where we lost the Patriots on a Monday night game, 14-3. Talk about a bad taste in our mouth. And then backs to the wall, won five or six straight, beating Miami in the last day of the season. I think this team's got the same kind of guts and determination, and they erased that terrible Miami victory in the same way they did with the Patriots that year. Secondly, what I like about the Coleman situation is I think the administration, you know, McDermott, has learned from that year we had the Diggs distraction. And that was all just a jumbled mess. I like the way they've grabbed this, put it right out there in the open. Of course, Coleman is a much younger player than Diggs was. You had your dug-in, settled veteran saying things and getting, you know, putting media messages out there in text. And that was a major distraction. I think they've nipped it in the bud this time. I'm glad the way they're handling it. I'm not giving up on Coleman. I think he can mature to be a pretty good football player. And finally, this year we don't have what I call the CDS, hopefully, after yesterday's win by the Broncos, Chiefs derangement syndrome. Yes, they have 8 games to go, but Let's stop worrying about the Chiefs. That's all we do. Let's just get them out of our brain. Just wash them out.
That's tough to do. It's tough to do, right? I mean, I think Jeremy has dubbed it the Chiefs fear bunker, is what it is. You know what I mean? You're in the fear bunker. I think it's tough to do. You know, it's funny, John. Yesterday we're watching, and after the game, Max, my son, said to me, he goes, "Dad, don't we want Kansas City to win?" And I'm like, it's a good question, right? It's a good question.
Yes, it is.
So I think I landed on this. I said, you know, earlier in the week, I said on Chopin the Bulldog, and I think this is where I landed. It didn't matter who won between the Chiefs and Broncos yesterday. I think the point is you want them to split their two games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's where you land. You want them to split their two games, because then you give each of them a loss, because obviously maybe you can keep the Chiefs down more, but also you might be catching the Broncos, you know, trying to catch them for a playoff seeding. So you have to let it play out to know if that's accurate. But I think it's a good question yesterday if you want to say, like, who are the Bills fans rooting for? You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Thanks, John. I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, you got it. Let's go to Kyle's in a car. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Just first off, Sal, you're a legend. Bills Mafia loves and appreciates everything you do. You're the hardest working man in the Buffalo sports media, man. Love you. Love listening to you. Just a quick question and a comment on Joe Brady, Josh Allen. It just seems, watching these games, kind of in the Chiefs game, in the Buccaneers game, a couple of kind of bigger games, it feels like those are the games when we're unleashing the playbook a little bit. It seems like the effort level is a little bit greater from Josh Allen. Maybe the question that I have for you: do you think it's a function of Josh Allen, Joe Brady kind of holding things back during the regular season until we get into some of these must-have games, and then expanding the playbook and expanding kind of the offense to take advantage and win these kind of gotta have them games?
You know, I don't know. It's a good question, Kyle. I would never dismiss, like, that you want to not show everything, but at the same time, you have to win games, right? You have to win games. You got to do it. I do think it comes down to just being, you know, each game, preparing for each team, preparing for each opponent. I also think that there's just something to be said about anybody in life in a more, you know, pressure moment and adrenaline and what you bring to the table in certain moments, and having to be more aggressive or having to do things differently because, you know, your season's on the line and things like that. So, you know, I think we've all seen with our own eyes, Josh Allen has generally in his career been at his best when the Bills have needed him to be. He's one of the greatest playoff performers of all time. So, yeah, and I don't know if I'd go right to they're holding things back, because you don't want that to cost you games. But I do think that you know you have a guy that when it comes time, he's going to do everything possible that maybe he does in a game like yesterday or a playoff game that maybe he doesn't in another game, because you're in the middle of a regular season and there's just not that much urgency, if that makes sense.
Definitely. You know, appreciate it, Sal. Love you, brother.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle. Thanks for the kind words, too. I appreciate that. We have news from Sabres practice today. It's really good news, actually. Let me just make sure. Here we go. Paul Hamilton, at PHAM1717. Not only is Jason Zucker in the morning skate with a non-contact jersey sweater, so is Josh Norris. Josh Norris and Jason Zucker in non-contact sweaters. So anyway, non-contact. So yeah, so you can't hit them, obviously, but they're starting to skate, which is really good news. I don't know. I'm a bit surprised by this, Owen. I'm not sure if you thought that it would happen this soon. Norris has kind of been out of sight, out of mind for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the thing with Norris is it's an upper body.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily surprising me that he's skating already.
Yes,
and
I
mean, the timeline was like 8 weeks, and yep. I don't know, what are we, 5 weeks since it happened?
So probably still a little time before that he can come back, but
exactly.
Not like he's playing tonight against the Oilers, but this is very positive news.
Right. I think it's definitely a good sign that he's skating, especially with a guy that's had the history that he's had. Like, it would be very easy for something else to have gone wrong in the recovery process that would delay that, so it's great to see that that didn't happen. But I would still assume that he's a couple of weeks away and just kind of working back in to get his legs under him. And you can always get back out there quicker when you got an upper body thing going on than when you got a lower body, because you can skate.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the time you'll see, if, you know, goalies will often do it if they've got like a shoulder injury, which is really common, they'll go skate with just their lower half on and just to get their feet on the ice.
The other big news we're getting here, not with the Sabres, but This isn't going to sit well with a lot of Bills fans. Some are going to be like, I don't care. But some of you will be like, come on, give me a break. Apparently, Jimmy Charlo has worked out for the Patriots.
Oh, of course.
Jimmy Charlo working out for the Patriots. Doesn't mean that they've signed him. They could, though.
They cut him loose.
What's enemy territory? You know?
They cut him loose.
The Bills play the Patriots in a few weeks, but you know, we'll see. Hey, what's the deal? Do either of you know, like, have you read anything or seen anything on Aaron Rodgers' situation? I just know that there's thought that he broke his left wrist. Would he actually play? Did anybody have anything on this?
Schefter was reporting that it's likely, and there's a chance it could be, in my update here, I'm just pulling it up. He reports that there's a concern that Rodgers may have a slight break. And that's the quote, a slight break in his left wrist. So not his throwing arm, which is good, I guess, but...
Right.
I don't know. You can't... I mean, Josh Allen... People thought Josh Allen might have had a broken hand last year, that left hand in the Arizona game. I mean, he was dealing with something. And remember, he never gave handoffs with his left hand.
Yep.
Yeah.
It matters a lot. I mean, that would be... I'm pretty confident about the Bills' chances with Rodgers on the Steelers, but I think that losing Rodgers would obviously bolster the Bills' look at winning that game in
a
few weeks.
The Bills play at Pittsburgh the weekend of Thanksgiving. They have the Texans coming up here in a couple of days on Thursday, and then it's 10 days, and it's Thanksgiving the following Thursday, and then the Steelers on Sunday. That week. We'll keep you updated on that, and as well as what's going on with the Sabres. Sabres do play tonight at home against Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. That game starts at 7 p.m. Big comeback by the Sabres against the Red Wings to close out their road trip after a couple of losses where they really had a lead against Utah, tied it up against Colorado, but maybe today they can get a victory against the Oilers and climb a couple more points higher because they're still sitting near the bottom, but it's still pretty packed up there, and there is some opportunity. We'll have the pregame for you here at 6. Puck drops at 7 on WGR. Let's go to Craig, who's up next. Hi, Craig. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, my question is, there's been a lot of talk about how well the offense did yesterday with the lack of Keon Coleman in the lineup, but Dalton Kincaid was also not in the lineup, and there's been talk that the offense is too predictable when he is on the field, so I'm wondering, did that have any, play on the or effect on the success that the offense had? Or am I just...
Well, I think you could draw that line. There's no doubt, Craig. I would say it this way, though, to me, if that's the case, and I agree with you, there have been some things that people put out there and said, look, when he's on the field, they're passing. When he's not on the field, they're running. But I would rather have Dalton Kincaid healthy and on the field. That's, to me, up to Joe Brady then. Don't be so predictable, right? Break your tendencies. That, to me, isn't a Dalton Kincaid issue. That's a Joe Brady issue if they're too predictable when he's on the field. You got to break that tendency because Dalton Kincaid is still your best pass catcher at this point. You know what I mean? So I think I'd rather have him healthy and out there, but you can't just make it where every time he's out there, they know what's happening. You know what I mean?
Is he really a liability in pass protection or run blocking? Is he really that?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I just think that the other guys, they really trust to be able to do that. And the fact that he's on the field and can threaten the defense. Here's what I think happens, Craig, is when he's on the field, the defense figures we're not going to be able to we have to keep someone home on him, right? So that gives you an extra guy, one less guy maybe coming at Josh or something like that. And I just think it's a matchup game.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. And he's not the super strongest guy against the run, but he's done a nice job this year, much better than he did his first couple years in the league. We know that. We've seen some things from earlier in the year. So I don't think that they don't trust him at all in those situations. I just think that that's Jackson Hawes and Dawson Knox. And by the way, Dawson Knox got pretty much, he got 3/4 of the snaps yesterday compared to Jackson Hawes. So interesting the way the Bills went about it against a very, very good run defense against the Bucs. It's almost like the Bills knew that they would have a lot of trouble running yesterday and said, we got to throw. And that's our path. And they were right about that. And I give Joe Brady credit for it. They did start to run the ball a little bit better. But next week, folks, they're playing another really, really tough defense coming in on Thursday, going to Houston. Not the same type of offense, though. The difference between the Bucs and the Texans when it comes to that is the Texans can kind of do everything really, really well on defense. Where the Bucs, they were lacking in the pass defense part, but they were excellent in the run defense. Part of the game. You want to know what the Texans are? Number one in the league in overall defense yards given up. Number three in the league in overall rushing yards. Number three in the league in overall passing yards. Yeah, this will be a test. Fourth in the league in interception rate. 11th in sacks per pass attempt. third and third down conversions given up percentage-wise. The Texans are number one in the NFL, allowing just 16.3 points a game. That's who the Bills are going up against on Thursday. This might be a game where you say points are at a premium, low scoring, control the ball, do nothing.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Not give extra opportunities with turnovers. Play field position. It's not sexy. I get it. But you might have to win it that way, especially on a short week when, you know, you don't know who's healthy, who's not, and guys getting back. All right, we'll take a timeout. Kathy, stay with me. Peter, I'll get right to both of you when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday on WGR. All right, back to the phone lines we go here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Kathy has been waiting patiently in Williamsville. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Sal. How are you? Good morning. Thank Good morning. You so much for taking my call. So I was all upbeat until you started talking about the Houston game. So, oh, my gosh. Now you have me worried.
It's okay. It'll be a tough challenge, right?
Yeah. So I wanted to just do a quick shout out. Number one, I wanted to recognize Deion Dawkins. I would have been down there if I could have been on Friday. So thrilled for him. Just such a great spirit he has about him. Also, I just wanted to shout out to the Bills Mafia, the fans that were at the game yesterday. I had two out-of-town guests. One happened to be a Bucks fan. Buffalo Bills is their second team, but the fans around us, there was one individual specifically behind us who could not have been more gracious and good-hearted with friendly jabs back and forth. Mm-hmm. And a friend of ours was like, oh my gosh, that guy made the game for me. I mean, that just really speaks volumes to our mafia and just how supportive. The other friend was like, oh my gosh, I just love your fans. They're so awesome. Everybody loves their team. And so I would just hope that that would carry over. You know, I was looking at the stats even from last year, and I was like, gosh, we lose a game, and everybody is like, they're the worst team ever. Get rid of the coaches. Get rid of the players. I'm like, oh, my God, their stats are not that bad. So I just would hope that we would really believe like we say we do and not be so, so negative. Critiquing is great, but that's my comment. But I love your show. Thank you so much.
Can I just tell you something, Kathy? It's very ironic. Because I also have friends in town this week from Florida, and my friend is a Buccaneers fan, and they came up for a trip. They had never been up here to Buffalo, and they went to the game, and they had an amazing experience. And even though his team lost, they both had an amazing experience.
Exactly.
So thank you. Thank you for bringing that up, because it's awesome when that happens. Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you. Let's go to Peter in New Jersey. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
So I'm going to make 2 points, and then I'll listen for your comments. So basically, on that third down play to Shakir, I know we got the face mask. But I saw the formation. I knew right away it was going to be the bubble screen. I don't like that play. I know we had success, but the reason why we had success, it wasn't Shakir out there on the bubble screen. It was Ty Johnson. So the Tampa didn't expect that. But if they hadn't got that face mask question, right, the score, we were up by 5. Would he have gone for it, McDermott, or kicked a field goal, which would have put us up by 8? And would he have made a different decision if Josh had converted on a 2-point conversion? Because then a field goal there puts us up by 10, I think. But yeah, we would have been up by 10 and put the game away. So that's the first point. The second point is, I think Todd Bowles, because he's a defensive coach, he put too much pride, I guess, to think his defense could stop the Bills when he punted away. I think he should have went for it, the way the Bills were moving the ball. So I'll stop there. But those
which punt did he on that one?
Oh, when the Bills had taken the lead 37, maybe had a third down play, I think from his own 35, a fourth down in three or something.
Okay, yeah, it's tough. It's
a punt, and then the Bills got the ball back and went down on the drive with 7 minutes to go to put it away at the 44.
Yeah, fourth and two from their own 39. I could see that for sure. I mean, the other part about it, though, Peter, hey, you're right. The face mask is called, but look, I mean, this is football, right? The Bills got called for a penalty and a field goal, and it should have been a penalty. They blocked the field goal. I mean, you know, and it gave them a free 3 points. So you play the woulda, shoulda game all day, and, you know, that's a penalty, and it went their way. But I don't know if Sean would have gone for it there. It's a good question. You know, is that something you can ask him right now? But and the game is yesterday. Maybe we can find out today, but we'll see. But thanks, Peter. I appreciate the phone call. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back with one more hour of your phone call. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, view from the sidelines. Everything up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, including your phone calls on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.